Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I will mention the understanding of the very last surahs of the Quran now, starting from Surah Al-A'la till the very end. As I mentioned, these last surahs of the Quran have as their central theme the understanding of inzar, warning that was given by the Messenger of God, Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, to the people of his own township, Mecca. The warning that was effective, that was strong, that moved a good number of people to believe in Islam and to adopt a life that would ultimately prepare themselves for the life hereafter. So that this invitation to have understanding of the life hereafter as the most significant feature of the presentation of the Quran, the feature that was to overwhelm their lives, has been presented in a manner that there are certain outcomes, results that have eventually taken place, which have also been mentioned. Surah Al-A'la mentions the fact that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, has been asked to glorify the Almighty and remember him in the wake of the difficulties and problems that he has been facing while inviting people to have faith. It assures the Prophet that even though he is facing difficulties at the time when the surah was being revealed, yet these difficult times are going to give way to more pleasant and more comforting times, and the message is going to ultimately prevail. It warns the people who are denying this message that they are going to be doomed if they are going to continue to deny. It tells them that they are preferring this worldly life of theirs over the life hereafter, even though the life hereafter is far more pleasant, luxurious, and brilliant. And more importantly, it is abqa, lasting. It's going to last forever. And the Quran clarifies that this message is not a unique message. It's a message that was mentioned and delivered by all earlier prophets like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. The next surah, Surah Al-Ghashiya, contains the very same theme because it's the partner surah of Surah Al-A'la. And it says that the day when everything is going to be overcome, overwhelmed by the calamity of the hereafter, have these people not been informed about it? And then the Quran goes on to mention the various different aspects of the day of judgment, which is bound to happen, and talks about the fact that the people who are going to be the winners, the people who are going to be declared as those who are successful in the hereafter, are the ones who are going to get the privilege of entering the life of the paradise. And the Quran mentions a number of blessings of the paradise, and then goes on to mention the fact that the Prophet has to only deliver the message to the people to whom he has been assigned the task to deliver. What he has to deliver is a natural message. The heavens, the earth, the mountains, even the camels are all witness to the fact that this worldly life has been created by a master creator who cannot do anything futile and unnecessary, and therefore a life after death is bound to happen because this worldly life most certainly is not fair. These two surahs are followed by another pair of surahs, Surah Al-Fajr and Al-Balad. In Surah Al-Fajr, the Almighty clarifies that everything in this world is in the hands of the Almighty. He is in full control and command of all that we can see. And this is a fact that is manifested by the fact that the earlier nations that had a number of strong, mighty rulers and inhabitants were destroyed once they went beyond the limits of acceptable behavior. And the Almighty arranged for them to be destroyed one after the other. This is what shows that this life is controlled by the mighty Creator. And then the Almighty invites the attention of the people of Mecca that they too should behave accordingly, in accordance with this understanding, because this life is a trial. It's a trial both for those people who are given blessings of the Almighty, and it's a trial for those as well who are kept in difficult conditions. In one case, it's a trial of thankfulness and gratefulness. In the other case, it's a trial of patience and fortitude. The Almighty condemns the people of Mecca who thought that their richness, their affluence is because of some inherent quality in them as against the other people. And therefore, out of their arrogance and pride, they are causing people to be persecuted by them and to be exploited by them and deprived of their rights in inheritance, for instance. But the Almighty mentions towards the end of the surah that those who would remain patient and steadfast in the wake of difficulties and adversities, they are the ones who would remain completely content and satisfied in this worldly life as well as in the hereafter, where they are going to enter the heaven. In Surah Al-Balad, the Almighty clarifies that the people of Mecca, they did not start the proceedings of their life in this land of Mecca and its surroundings in a manner that they were strong and they had all the amenities of life the way they are enjoying now. Their beginning was very ordinary, very humble. But when the struggle was undertaken by the ancestors of this population, then when the blessings of the Almighty embraced these people, the later generations became haughty and arrogant, and thus they are avoiding to spend in the way of Allah to help the poor and to enable people to have a better quality of life. And the Almighty says that these people who are being invited to have faith are not doing enough in the way of goodness and proper moral behavior for them to deserve to believe in the message of God. So that it's an uphill task. And one of the first things that one needs to do in this uphill task, in that environment wherein the Quran was being revealed, was to free the slaves who had been somehow captured, and to help the poor people, especially in times of need, the orphans, the destitute. And if somebody is going to do good deeds like those, it's only then that such people are going to deserve the ultimate reward of faith in this world, and of course, the reward of luxuries in the life hereafter. After these two surahs, we have got four surahs which talk about the battle of the evil and the good, the wrong and the right, that is there within us, which ultimately manifests itself in the form of the tension between the good and the evil in the outside world. So that Surah Ash-Shams and Surah Al-Layl are clarifying that within human soul, there is this understanding of the evil and the goodness that the Almighty Himself has inherently whispered, as if injected into the souls of humankind. And He has left people on their own free to decide whether they are going to pursue goodness or they are going to pursue evil. And in the two surahs, He describes that the people who choose to go on the wrong path are ultimately going to be punished, and the ones who are going to choose to follow the right path, which they know from inside is right, they are going to be the ones who will be rewarded by the Almighty. Followed by these two surahs are Surah Wadduha and Alam Nashra, which are talking particularly about Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, and the life that he led, which to begin with was difficult. To begin with, he yearned for knowing more, knowing the truth, and then the Almighty opened the door of knowledge for him, opened the door of worldly blessings for him, and he asks the Prophet to, as a result of what he had received, to distribute whatever he has with him to the people without asking for any rewards and returns. The knowledge that he has also to be disseminated, and the good other virtues that he has should also be disseminated. He was an orphan some time ago, and the Almighty came to his rescue and helped him out in his times of difficulty. Therefore, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ O Prophet, as for the orphans, do not reject them and scorn them. So that this surah is in particular the surah of the Prophet, wherein the Almighty is asking him to learn from what happened to him and the way the Almighty kindly arranged for all the difficulties that he had to be overcome. And he should likewise do it for the rest of the people around him. And we all know how well he did it all throughout the rest of his life. Surah Alam Nashra is also likewise saying the same thing and kind of consoling and comforting the Prophet in the wake of difficulties that the Almighty, who had come to his rescue in the earlier days of his life, is most certainly going to come to his rescue even in the later days of his life, when he is discharging the obligations required of him by the Almighty. And the Almighty asks him to feel comfortable by the fact, because of the fact that innama al-usri yusra, innama al-usri yusra. That is, with every difficulty for him, there is going to be ease, there is going to be relaxation and good circumstances. This is the pattern that the Almighty has arranged for the Prophet in this worldly life, and therefore he should not be particularly disturbed by the difficulties of the trial of life that he is going through. After these two surahs, we have four surahs which are talking about some important aspects of the da'wah invitation that was extended by the Prophet to the people of Mecca. In Surah Wateen, the Almighty clarifies that the concept of accountability and the day of judgment is natural, and it is manifested by the fact that the earlier prophets came with high moral characters and they delivered the messages, and the Almighty is somebody who is the best of the judges. It is simply not possible that when he had enabled man to get such high moral possibilities in his design, if people then choose to go down low in their moral behavior, then they ought to be punished, and they are going to be punished by the king, who is the fairest and the most just of all kings. This surah is followed by the surah which at times is considered by some people to be the very first surah, at least its first five verses of the Quran, although there's a lot of debate about it, whether this claim is right or wrong. The surah is Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. This surah requires the messenger to deliver the message to all people around him, and mentions that the people who are not paying heed to it and have taken upon themselves to be its enemies are very soon going to face the consequences of it, and the Almighty is going to send down his help to the messenger and his companions to make sure that the people who are denying him, the people who are inflicting miseries and persecuting him, they will be taken to task. Thereafter, we have Surah Al-Qadr, which clarifies that those people who are denying the Quran are themselves to be blamed for it, because the Quran is such a valuable text that it was revealed by the Almighty on the night when he decides all important decisions for the mankind. So that this decision of the revelation of the Quran and its implementation took place in a night, which is the night of blessings, which is the night when all important decisions are taken by the Almighty. This surah is followed by Surah Al-Bayyinah, which is primarily responding to the demand of the people of the book, as well as the polytheists of Mecca, that they're only going to believe in the Quran if they would find angels coming down from the sky with the scriptures in their hands and reading out whatever injunctions are mentioned therein. The Almighty says that such demands were also put across by the people of the earlier nations, the people of the book, and they also received instructions from the Almighty in clear terms, and yet those who didn't want to believe did not believe and went against what the Almighty had required of them. And it clarifies that the people who are virtuous are most certainly going to enter the heaven, and the people who are denying the true message of God, whether they belong to the people of the book or whether they belong to the polytheists of Mecca, they are all kuffar, and they will have to face serious consequences in the hereafter. After these surahs, we have four surahs which are a clear and vivid description of what is going to happen in the life hereafter. So that we have Surah Al-Zilzal, we have Surah Al-Qariyah, we have Surah At-Takathur, and we have Surah Al-Adiyat, which follows Surah Al-Zilzal. All of them are describing the life hereafter and the Day of Judgment and its events in a manner that is actually very effectively reminding the people, warning them of the serious consequences that they will have to face if they are not going to take the message seriously. They are in the category of a wake-up call that the Almighty is giving to all people of Mecca and its surroundings who were receiving the message of the Quran, so that even if they were not able to accept the message earlier, they should accept it now, because the punishment and that disastrous day is around the corner. After these surahs, we have now we come to the very closing part of the Quran, wherein the Almighty is mentioning how the message of the Messenger of God was delivered, and how people responded to it, and what kind of results emerged out of this operation. So that Surah Al-Asr is describing the virtues of the people who are going to succeed in the hereafter. Suratul Asr is the one which is mentioning the fact that those people who do not believe in the proper way and they are not behaving properly, their character, their performance is most certainly the worst of all performances. They are the ones who are causing people to be led astray through their wrong statements, through talking negatively against the Prophet, through grimacing, through their gestures, and they are the ones who are the ones who will be cursed in the hereafter. So in the Surah Al-Lumaza, the Almighty is mentioning that this behavior of those people who are denying the message of God are the ones who are caused by their deep love for wealth to overcome them and to cause them not to be interested in the Quran and the message of God. And they have been warned that this love of their wealth, which they believe is going to cause them to live forever, is going to result in them having a punishment from the Almighty in the form of the fire of hell, which is going to reach their hearts. Hearts that were primarily not inclined to believe in the Quran because of the love of wealth that they had created, that they had harbored within them. So that this surah is followed by Surah Al-Fil, which mentions that the people of Mecca were blessed by the Almighty not long ago, when a king from Yemen, Abraha, came with an army which was led by a few elephants. And the idea was to destroy the house of Allah. But the Almighty enabled the inhabitants of Mecca to put up an opposition, which even though was feeble, yet it was able to overcome the mighty invaders of Yemen. And this was a great blessing that was witnessed by many people who were present at the time this surah was being revealed. And this is, in fact, a mention of the blessings of the Almighty to the people of Mecca to draw a lesson from and to enable them to incline towards thanking God and accepting His message. Surah Quraysh, which follows Surah Fil, also mentions the blessings of the Almighty to the people of Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh, who were given the privilege of not being stopped in their trade missions and their caravans were allowed to go unhindered, even in a situation where otherwise it was simply not possible for anyone to carry out his trade activities because of the kind of battles and wars that were taking place all across the Arabian Peninsula. Surah Al-Ma'un is a description of the fact that the people of Quraysh, the leaders, have gone so immoral that their prayers are just to show off, and they are not able to help out each other even in minor matters. And after having declared the low character of the leadership of Quraysh, the Almighty mentions in Surah Al-Kawthar that the house of Allah, the place of great blessings, of goodness in abundance, is what now has been decided to be given to the Prophet and his followers. And these enemies of the Prophet, who are making fun of him and ridiculing, they are the ones who are going to be completely destroyed in a manner that they will have no following whatsoever left within a few years. This surah is followed by Surah Al-Kafirun, which is the ultimate description of the Almighty, of his dislike and contempt for the people who have denied the message, because the message of God was delivered to them most effectively over a period of 12, 13 years. And now, after having denied it over and over again, they do not deserve to get any further choice, any further possibility of knowing it from the messenger. After having mentioned that declaration, that the disbelievers are destined to be destroyed, the Quran mentioned in Surah Nasr the fact that the Almighty has already decided that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, is going to see the times when he is going to prevail, his message is going to conquer the enemies, and people are going to enter the fold of Islam in large numbers. This declaration is followed by the declaration that the polytheists, the opponents of the Prophet, are going to be destroyed, and especially the leader of that opposition, Abu Lahab, he is going to be destroyed very soon. And his destruction in this worldly life in the form of punishment is going to be followed by his destruction and punishment in the hereafter, wherein he is going to be accompanied by his wife, who are both going to burn in the hellfire. This surah is followed by Surah Ikhlas, which is the ultimate surah, the final surah as far as the message of the Quran is concerned, in that it declares, after the mention of the destruction of the biggest enemy of Islam, the mention of Tawheed, the unity of God, which was the purpose why the Quran was revealed and disseminated to the people of Mecca. Those polytheists who had opposed the message of Tawheed, unity of God, oneness of God, they were destroyed, and the message of the unity of God, oneness, was declared most clearly in Surah Al-Ikhlas. The last two surahs of the Quran, Mu'awwadhatayn, Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas, are in the form of two security guards, which are there to guard all believers against the onslaught and the attempts of the enemy of man, Satan, to take him away from the right path. So that both surahs are there at the end of the Quran, at the end of the message of Tawheed, so that it may become clear to everybody that if one is to follow the path of the truth properly and consistently, one has to guard oneself against the evils of Satan, whether those evils are trying to dissuade people from inside man's soul or from the outside world. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand His book more and more, and may He enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities.